Hey, welcome to the MattCast. We are glad to be back with you. We've been on a small break, but we're back. I'm here with my co-host, Matt Williams. I'm Matt Chandler.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, there he is. What's up, bro?
Not much. I'm ready to get back into the swing of things. We had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about today.
Yep, bring it on.
Yep, this is the MattCast. Maybe.
I love how raw this is.
Boy, it's raw.
We're like, hit it. I said, hit it. I said, come on with it.
Oh, we got to get some new production team members.
And then the music starts.
Yeah.
I saw your bracelet hook. It snagged something.
My bracelet got caught on my earphone cable.
Mine does the same thing. I was carrying something through the shop, and my bracelet hook caught something and almost
So just to
everything.
Clarify for our listeners, we don't have, like, friendship bracelets. I mean, they kind of are, but they're not. They're actually they're fishermen bracelets with, like, little hooks on them. They're made in Israel.
So first and foremost, I was under the impression these were friendship bracelets.
Oh, boy.
And now you break it to me in public.
Well, I just mean they weren't like the, old school crocheted friendship bracelets. They are friendship bracelets.
I'm game for that if you want to make bracelets.
So we've been gone from the MattCast for a couple of weeks now, a little bit longer than that. And we had some flooding down here. Another tropical storm came in our area. We dealt with Hurricane Harvey. I flooded in my home. Matt flooded in his home.
During Harvey.
This new flood that came through Imelda, we were blessed to not have to deal with that. But we did have some people in our church family, in our community, definitely. Some people flooded for a second time within a matter of 2 years. So we spent some time helping people get back in their homes and trying to get some things caught up and in order over the last few weeks. So we've been gone, but we're back, and we're happy to be back. Right?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm very happy. Look, talking about this flood, it's difficult for me to talk about. It was a huge mental challenge for me during the Imelda flood. Honestly, and I wasn't personally affected greatly. Like, I didn't flood. My personal property didn't flood during Imelda. It did during Harvey, not during Imelda. But for some reason, mentally, the Imelda flood hit me harder than the Harvey flood did.
Why do you think that was?
Well, we'll definitely dive into that here in a sec. Because I'm the why guy, right?
Yeah. Not white, but he is white. But the why, W-H-Y.
Yeah, I guess I kind of slur my words. I don't know. It's the way I talk. It's
Southeast Texas.
But I'm a white guy. I'm a why.
Yeah,
it's always, why? It's about the why.
All right, Danny Zuko.
So yeah. But it was definitely fear-driven.
Yeah.
It was fear-driven. The whole, me personally, the mental problems that I was having, the struggles, was fear-driven. And it's crazy the role that fear plays in our life.
Sure.
Once we're in that mindset, fear changes our perspective of things.
Certainly does.
We can both be looking at the same thing, and I see it completely different than you because I might be in a fear-driven mindset.
Yeah. So before we get deep into that, this is for a lot of people, the season of fear with
Ooh,
Halloween.
It is.
And my question is, what was your favorite? Did you dress up as a kid?
Of course.
Okay, so what was your favorite costume to dress up in?
It was a vampire.
Vampire. Nice.
Not an umpire. A vampire.
Oh, it could be a vampire umpire.
This umpire's from Czechoslovakia. He's like, I'm an umpire.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, so vampire.
Gabby went to strike. That's a strike. Von.
Hey, there it is. Mine was Batman. I had a homemade Batman costume. We, like, store-bought the cape and cowl, but we homemade everything else. Got a picture I'll put up on Instagram.
Please do.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. I'm, like, holding it out, very confident in my wingspan.
Mm. very confident in my wingspan. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being 3 or 4 years
not
old.
Not the size of the cape that matters. It's how long it is.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
I'm Batman. Oh, man. Did you ever have a homemade costume? Did your parents ever make you, like, force you to have one? Or
my grandmother made me a white Power Rangers costume.
Nice. You got a picture of that?
The White Ranger. Yeah, I do. I'll text it to you so we can get it up on the thing. Yeah, it was homemade, every aspect of it. And it was so funny. I remember she lived in Mississippi. We lived in Texas. I didn't text her. I called her, you know, with the rotary phone.
Right.
And I was like, hey, Grandma, I want a white Power Ranger costume.
Because you're a white boy.
And she,
it just felt right. Sorry.
She was like, yeah, sure. I'm going to keep going. She was like, yeah, sure. I can do that for you. She didn't realize the complexity because he has the chest plate. Like, he's not like the other guy.
That's right.
It was practically a skin suit.
Yeah.
But he had like the chest plate, the helmet, the boots, the cuffs.
So he got rid of the flute once he became the White Ranger, right? That was only with the Green Ranger.
Yeah, the flute was the Green Ranger. The White Ranger, he had the dagger.
That's right, with the little tiger head on it.
Yeah, the tiger head.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was like, eyes
would glow.
So cheesy, oh, bro. Man. But that was it. That was it back in the day, bro.
Yeah.
Anyways, she crafted that thing from hand. And yeah, it's, I mean, I'll let the uniform speak for itself.
Transylvanian craftsmanship.
I wore it twice.
Nice.
I feel so bad about it.
2 years in a row or just?
No, like I wore it in Mississippi and then I wore it once to show off to my family. And then I don't think
after she spent hours and hours.
Bro, she like labored over this thing.
With her arthritic hands.
Wow. Yeah, that's what gave her arthritis.
Wow. So did you ever watch like scary movies as a kid?
Yeah, actually looking back, I watched movies as a kid that I would never let my kids watch.
Movies when I was a kid that I wouldn't watch now.
Yeah, that's right. That's accurate.
Because I would be terrified.
Yeah. Beetlejuice. Yeah. Not really scary, but some of the stuff that they had in it, you're like, I watched that.
Yeah.
The
lady that had her throat slit, she killed herself and the smoking out of her neck.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then that big like centipede or worm looking thing.
Yeah. They're making a second one, by the way.
Is it an all-female cast? Maybe I should. I'm just saying because they had the Ghostbusters.
You can send your hate mail to
info@matcast.us.
Why
do I do this to myself? It was a curious question.
No, Michael Keaton's coming back.
Is it an all-female cast?
And they're making another Ghostbusters with Bill Murray and the other guys that are left, I believe.
Oh, so they're going to allow men to be in this. Oh, man.
Have you watched the all-female Ghostbusters?
No.
Bill Murray was in there, but as a totally different character.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like Bill Murray.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's funny. Let's see. I watched It.
Oh.
The old one.
Yeah.
Back
Tim Curry.
Yeah. Which was scary back then. Sure. I mean, if you watch It now, it's kind of like...
It's like watching the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Is that ketchup on the van? I mean, really, what just happened there?
Yeah. There was definitely some movies I watched as a kid I would not let my kids watch now.
So one of the ones that I used to... This is weird saying this, but I used to like scary movies because I like the thrill, you know?
Right.
I don't anymore. but I used to watch Child's Play. Chucky.
I watched that one, yeah.
So I watched all of them. Even the one with John Ritter where he got his face with a whole bunch of nails thrown in his face, whatever. Terrible movie. So as a kid, if you were in the 80s, growing up in the 80s and early 90s, they had these dolls that came out called My Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the overalls, the rainbow long sleeve shirt, the little faces and the hair, whatever. I think it had like a little ball cap attached to it, maybe. I don't know. Definitely looked like Chucky without the crazy orange hair.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a My Buddy.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, carried it around, slept with it. I mean, this is what's weird. You would have thought that after watching Chucky and having a My Buddy, I'd have been like, yeah, I'm done with My Buddy.
Yeah.
No. I kept him around until someone threw him away without me knowing about it. But I would still have My Buddy to this day. I mean, I was just attached to the guy.
I had a Biff. But in no way did he look like Chucky.
Mm. Yeah, this was...
Did you know there was a resemblance there?
As I got older, I realized that, hey, that doll I had was a lot like Chucky.
Are you Googling Biff?
I'm actually going to show you while we're talking...
what your My Buddy looked like?
Yeah, because it's a pretty incredible resemblance to...
So, but you didn't know, or you weren't aware of the resemblance at the time?
No.
I think I had that.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty incredible...
It does look similar. It just has dark hair instead of the red hair. If it had red hair and crazier eyes and cheeks, it would definitely be...
Yeah, Chucky. He did have a ball cap. But, I mean, I'm you know, pretty sure the big blue eyes. Yeah. It's Chucky, bro. So, anyway, I may be wrong. This may be something to Google, but I think Chucky may have been based off of that doll.
I think the new one is called My Buddy. Didn't they remade Chucky?
They did. Mark Hamill. I'm not sure what he's called in there, but...
I think it's because they don't call it Chucky.
Okay. Well, while you Google that... yeah, so definitely did have nightmares a lot as a kid. I'm pretty sure it's from watching like Exorcist and Omen and all that kind of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah, you're flying.
But yeah, so let me ask you this. What was your biggest fear as a child? Talking about fear today. What was your biggest fear? Do you remember what your biggest fear would have been as a child?
It's going to get dark, bro.
Uh-oh.
It was death.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you dying?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was just death.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, of course, as a kid, I was scared of, like, the bumps in the night, like, you know, the noises and stuff like that. You'd be like, what's that? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But, it was just death. It was the ultimate question because I wasn't necessarily raised. I was raised in a good household, but I wasn't raised. Like, I accepted Jesus, like, at the age of, in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. So, like, we had started going to church and stuff like that. And it was another family that I saw how they were living and their love for each other. And that made me realize that there was a greater love.
Wow.
In obedience in Christ and stuff like that.
That's so awesome.
That's what got me on that path. But so I wasn't raised Christian from birth.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason it was death.
Wow.
That was my biggest fear. Well, like the wise of the universe. Like
yeah, you know, yeah.
I'm a wise guy.
You're a wise guy. So just to follow up, Child's Play, 2019. The doll is called a buddy doll with an I, digital, but his name is Chucky. So, yeah, my buddy doll. Mm-hmm. There it is. So, my fear as a kid, I remember my big thing was storms. And I think I can go all the way back to, first of all, in 89, I was young, and it snowed in Orange, where we live. It normally does not snow here. We had snow, a really good snow a few years ago, two, 3 years ago, when Hurricane Harvey hit. We had like several inches of thick snow, mm-hmm. But in 89 it snowed, and I loved that. Mm-hmm. Well, then as I got older, we didn't evacuate. A hurricane was coming through, and we didn't evacuate. So we stayed in our house, and there's these outer bands coming through.
Andrew?
Possibly. Oh. That sounds right. Well, it felt like a tornado was coming through all over the place, and wind was blowing, rain was, and I was absolutely terrified without hitting equipment here in the studio. So, but yeah, so ever since then I've been scared of storms. So when a storm was coming, I would literally sit down in my bedroom, hide somewhere, and start praying, God, please don't let a tornado come and hit our house or my neighbor's house. I was always terrified of storms. And then having Hurricane Harvey come through, you know, we evacuated to my neighbor's house, hit a second story. I came back down to turn off the power. As I'm coming back, this oak tree starts bending over. This large gust of wind comes through. I'm like, okay, well, this may be a tornado coming down because you couldn't see because of the rain, the flood waters. I'm in duck waders, and I just put my back against the garage holding the flashlight, and I'm like, Lord, this is it. Make it quick and protect my family. And then the wind stopped. And I was like, okay.
Tornadoes were a close second for me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because the movie, Tornado, with Helen or or what's her name?
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt, yeah.
Yeah. That was called Tornado? What was that? It doesn't matter. Irrelevant.
I don't know.
Useless movie facts.
Every time I'd hear a tornado, I'd be like, wasn't it an F5?
Oh, yeah, that's when he had that belt and tied himself to like a pipe or something like that, and the tornado's sucking him up, but he doesn't. Yeah. I'm like, come on, guys. Yeah. Really? You have the cow.
And then he gets into the eye of the tornado, and it's like the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. He's like, this was all worth it. I'm like, what?
You're stupid, man.
Yeah, are you sure about that? Oh, and then we got flying cows. I'm going to have to call you back.
Trucks are getting smashed. Houses destroyed. He's hanging onto a belt, you know? So dumb. My buddy doll circling around him. So
you were fearful in that
time. Extremely fearful. Extremely fearful. That's a mouthful. Let me ask you this. As an adult, what's your biggest fear? Before we start dissecting fear and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I wasn't ready for this question.
I know. What's your biggest fear?
We did not pre-game this question.
I'll go first. Okay. I'll go first. I think for me, the biggest fear, and listen, this is unhealthy, but it's like a fear of failing my family, you know, in whatever way. You can name anything. It's like I don't want to screw my kids up, screw my wife up. You know, I want to be a healthy dad, husband, all that stuff. If everything else goes away, it doesn't matter. I just want to make sure I'm doing that well. And I can't always check that box off. So it's this fear that kind of stays around that I have to kind of kick out so that way I don't get stuck in this weird mood and cycle of fighting this internal battle with no way to express it the right way. And so people around me are like, you know, what's wrong, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I can't really describe it because it's this unhealthy fear in my brain that I'm not doing something well.
Yeah.
And that's the only area of my life that I really struggle with that is with family.
Yeah. I second that. That's actually what we're going to be talking about here in a sec. That sums up the ultimate end that I'm going to be getting to. It's the exact same fear. And it's failing. It's failing your own family. I'm like, these are the immediate human beings and lives you're responsible for.
That's right.
And I don't know if I can. That's definitely where the fear leads to in the story I'm about to talk about. But the number one fear in my life. I guess I can go with that. I'm not really 100% sure. What it is, but that.
So you're just gonna copy my answer.
I'm gonna copy your answer, but I already had it written down.
Okay, whatever.
So,
that counts.
I just didn't know how to vocalize it earlier.
Yeah, that counts. Whatever. So, the Bible, which we hold to be an authoritative voice in our lives,
pretty good. Pretty good book.
Yep. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Tell me your perspective on why is fear a problem for the believer, even for the unbeliever?
So I think there's power in all of those things in that scripture there. There's power in the love. The greatest of these is love. There's power. Can be power in the fear, but I think it's what you're given that power to. and then where does that power derive from, the fear-based power? I will say this, fear only has power whenever that individual gives fear the power. I think it's human to, you know, maybe have a shock.
Yeah.
To have... to look at a situation and be like, how am I responding to this situation? Like, it's like, fear is normal, I think, to have it in your face. I think it's how we handle that and whether or not we're giving power to that fear.
Yeah, that's a good point.
My water's getting me.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break from a note from our new sponsor, our sponsor, Anchor. All right, welcome back.
Welcome back. That was a good sponsor.
Yeah.
Anchor.
I like him.
Love him. All right, so following up, I was saying fear only has power when that power is given to it. And like I said, I'm a why guy. So when we do focus and we get too involved in this fear, I think it's important to recognize that and then ask yourself why. And that's sometimes the only way to get out of these ruts that fear put us in. Because when you are fearful, you start to look at situations completely different than you would.
That's so true.
When you're on your healthiest version of yourself. So yeah. The why. And go ahead.
I was going to say, so are you saying that a lot of times that people's maybe more manic or outburst, maybe even anger, could be all derived from a fear they have?
Yeah, and terrible decisions are made in lieu of of being fearful. For example, this flood. So my house, none of the houses were flooded. Came very, very close, but did not get flooded. One of them did.
Praise God.
Yeah. So the question is, why did this flood tear me up more than Harvey? Like, my family did not get displaced this time. Did not have to bunk up with family members. Did not have to throw away my entire wardrobe. Did not have to throw away my... And there's people that I care about that are having to do this the second time. So, like, why was I having a very personal, secretive struggle with this? And it was affecting my emotions. It was affecting about how I was communicating with people. I have to ask myself, why? Why? Because, you know, on the shallow, people I care about are getting flooded.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go deeper. There's a deeper root there. Why? Why are you feeling this way whenever everybody else is being affected? Was it a fear that I would flood again? Could have been, but the fact was I didn't flood again. So, again, why? I mean, it took me like an entire week to get out of here, to get out of this mindset. And it was so bad that I was driving through Orangefield, which is the greatest place on earth. And I was like, this is bad. Like, I was like, this is, everything was dark. Everything was gloomy.
A lot covered in water, even though your particular house wasn't.
Yeah.
A lot in that community was flooded.
We had a drone footage, and it was so much. It was like an island.
Yeah.
Around that little bitty neighborhood.
Yeah. So let me ask you this.
Yep.
In that moment, that week, you said you had this fear and figuring out as you're navigating this in your mind, as you're trying to get yourself out of that mindset, was the fear paralyzing? And what I mean by that, was it physically hindering you from being able to conduct life like normal, even with the abnormal flooding that's happening? Were you being held kind of hostage for that week?
For sure. I was at one house helping them demo, and I've never experienced PTSD, and I don't want to take away anything from the guys who have been in service and experienced PTSD. But,
sure.
But that's probably the closest thing that I can imagine that is true PTSD was it was like a nervous breakdown. Like, as we were taking this drywall off and cutting them and all this stuff, it was like my mind and my body was just like, it started to panic.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing started to change, and it was almost like the only thing I could think about was to get out of this situation. Like, it was like, I'm here to help, but I could not help.
Yeah.
I started panicking, freaking out, and disappointed with myself that I had to leave earlier than what the healthy version of me would have done.
Sure.
Probably stayed until they tried to go to bed.
Yeah. They're
like, Matt, you need to leave, bud.
Right.
We're gonna sleep now. But anyway, so yeah, it changed my it changed in what I was doing. It was holding me hostage in how I would normally act and how I would normally view things. Like I said, Orangefield to me is the greatest place on earth, but I was seeing it as dark, gloomy. I felt the whole community was sad and hurting, and I felt that Orangefield would never be the same. And this was also affecting my perspective on a business sense, like in the real estate market.
Yeah.
Like, now my decisions, and I'm aware of it. I was like, okay, so now I'm fear-based decision-making. Like, how do I now look at these and make healthy decisions rather than just look at these and be like, I got too close. Like, how is the rest of the community going to perceive Orangefield and stuff like this?
Sure.
I started thinking that Orangefield was no longer for me. I didn't want my family to be exposed to this. Started at, questioning whether or not Orangefield was the place for me to be, which was a terrible perception. And it was a perception that I've never had ever. I've always thought, even after the first flood, even after my house personally flooding the first time, I still felt Orangefield was the best place on earth.
Yeah.
But now the second flood, which didn't even personally flood my house, I'm thinking, it's time to move to Tennessee, y'all.
Yeah.
Franklin, here I come.
That's right. Yeah. Wow.
I'm ready to enjoy their, what's that, the Christmas celebration? Their Merry Franklin Christmas?
Oh, Merry Franklin Christmas is fantastic. If you ever get a chance to go there, it is fantastic.
Number two, save me a seat because this seven's headed up there.
Oh, boy.
But fear was driving my reality.
Yeah.
How I was looking at everything. There was not a lot of people I shared that perception with. In fact, there's three people I shared that perception with.
But that's a good thing that you just said, though, is that I think that what fear does is just gives you a distorted reality, a distorted perception. And like we said earlier, fear is just really all is internal, and if you're not careful, you start making dumb decisions based on a false reality.
So I didn't know what to do with this fear. I didn't know how to handle it. So I started asking myself the whys. I came down to it was a fear of being displaced, although I didn't get displaced again. So I asked myself why again, and because I knew others were displaced, I felt as though I was a failure as a husband and as a family man, that we didn't have a house the first time. So I think when I mentioned the PTSD, I think that knowing we got so close again, I think that just really hit home. And then that set a presence of fear because I had given fear power to change how I was thinking about things. And then I got stuck. I got stuck with this fear. And once I understood that it was who I was without a house is what made me feel this way. It was then I was able to remember who I really was.
That's good.
And the truth was, I know who I am, and I know who my family is, even without a house. We went without a house, being in a house for 2 years. And more importantly, I know who God is, and I know my beliefs. I know what my foundations are. Yeah. I know who my community is and what they're capable of. And I know God is present in this community.
That's right.
So once I revisited my basics and reaffirmed who I am in God, I was able to cast away the fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." And God is love. The greatest of all these characteristics is love.
Yeah.
So my next steps were to just pour myself into love, love on those who were hurting, love on my family, reaffirm myself who I am in God. And the moment I took those steps to get closer to God, in love, casts away fear.
That's really good. Yeah, you know, one of the things that Dale Carnegie said is that you can conquer almost any fear if you only make up your mind to do so. For remember, fear doesn't exist anywhere except in the mind. And it's such a good quote because it's so true that if we're not careful, and what you've just said, these steps you've taken to pull yourself out of that mindset, you know, to me, that doesn't happen outside of the context of a relationship with God, number one.
Right.
But two, having spiritual disciplines in your life to know how to do that, you know, knowing how to study your Bible and get into the Word, to know your identity, to know God's character, you know, learning how to and implementing a prayer routine in your life, meditation, rest, you know, solitude, all these different spiritual disciplines you can have that help you get to that place where, like Paul says, hey, renew your mind. Why? Because there's a chance that fear will come in and distort your reality, and then that changes how you interact with your family, your friends, your coworkers, all of the above. So it's important that we understand that fear is a liar, mm-hmm. and it only creates false perception. And it doesn't mean that you don't have concern about things and that you're not
right.
looking at, hey, what are the what-ifs of this situation? But it doesn't mean you allow fear to come in, because when fear comes in, you become a slave to fear.
Yeah, you definitely know when you're grasped by fear. You do.
Everyone. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess some people might not, but I don't know.
I'll say this. I really believe that this isn't like a fluff line here, but I really believe that fear is the enemy of faith, and that where there's fear, you know, it drowns out your faith. I think of David and Goliath. I mean, just a simple story there of you got a whole army who's petrified with fear, and you got one guy who's doing exactly what you said, that he knows who God is, and knows who he is, and knows that God's a man of his word and keeps his promise, and he's our provision, and he's our source for life. He goes out there with faith, and it's the faith that took down the giant. You know, it wasn't because I was fearful and just hoped that it would go away. And no, it took faith, but if you have fear, you can't have much faith.
Yeah.
It drowns it out.
Yeah, there is no fear in love.
So I'm looking forward to seeing your Power Ranger costume.
I'm going to text it to you right in the meow.
And we're going to post that stuff on Instagram. Hey, we'd love for you to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, the MattCast, and upload your like childhood costume and tag the MattCast, hashtag the MattCast in that. We'd love to see what you had when you were a kid growing up. And, you know, maybe what we should do, I don't know if I should say this, because if we can't do it, it's a disappointment, but maybe we should recreate our childhood costumes.
Well, you know, today's internet market is pretty full. Yeah. So I bet we totally could find. Aww. I could probably find. I ain't going to be able to fit in my old white Ranger.
Oh, I definitely can. I mean, yeah, no. But, like, to be able to have a side-by-side, like, recreate our costumes.
I would be up for the challenge.
I think I would be, too. We got a few weeks to do this before, you know, big costume night. So, Halloween. Anyway, we thanks for listening to us today. And we're again glad to be back. Sorry we've been gone for a few weeks, but we're back and we're back in the saddle, and we got some good stuff coming your way. And be following us on Instagram and Facebook. We'll have some video content too we'll be releasing soon. And visit us on mattcast.us as well. We'll be there to hang out with you.
That's right. We love you guys. Pray for y'all. Peace. Is it over?
Hang on.